Dark Side of the Ring is back this season. What are they at, their fifth season now? Something like that, on Vice TV. And they kicked off this season with an episode on John Tenta, Big Earthquake, the Quakester, or the Shark, if you're feeling nasty about it. John Tenta, the big former sumo wrestler. I didn't know that he had a Dark Side of the Ring worthy kind of life. And I still think it's debatable. I think they're kind of stretching now in their fifth season here. Pretty soon they're going to be like, you know, oh, Dark Side of the Ring, Big E. Oh, he took a bump and hurt his neck. The end. You know what I mean? Like, how far can we stretch this thing thin here? But here is a clip from Dark Side of the Ring where they do talk about something that I thought was a little bit dark here.
It was just horrible to hear it because he was such a sweet man.
John Tenta was laid to rest in Houston, Texas, surrounded by the love of his family, but without any representation from the business he devoted himself to for over 20 years.
There's no wrestlers. No flowers from the boss.
The amount of work that my dad had put out there, for the amount of punishment he put, you know, his body through, for entertainment and for his bosses. And I just wish that they would have, you know, tried a little harder to reach out to him and to show more love, because he was a gentle giant and he would have done anything for anybody.
Certainly very sad to hear that when the man passed, he had literally zero representation from anybody in pro wrestling. That kind of breaks my heart, 'cause man, I used to love me some Earthquake as a kid. He hit right at that prime period of my childhood where I was buying into everything, right? And when he came out and he hurt Hulk Hogan, I bought it. I believed it. I thought Hogan was injured. The ribs were all taped up, the gimmick, all that. Thought the Quake squashed him. He fucking squashed the guy. Then, Earthquake, when he jumped on the snake, when you remember when he crushed Damien and the snake, they covered that here on the show, and I bought it, man. I don't remember if I cried or not, but or how emotional I got, but oh boy, did I buy that as a kid. It was just fucking ate that shit up. Earthquake squashed a goddamn snake. And apparently that caused a lot of drama for WWE. They had to deal with, they got a lot of complaints and shit like that, PETA, that sort of thing. But man, that angle stuck with me for a long ass time. Then he moved on to doing the natural disasters with Tugboat as Typhoon, Fred Ottman. And, they covered him good in this show too, I think they chose to do this episode just so they could sneak in the Shockmaster reenactment. Excuse me. Another thing really funny worth noting in this episode was when they showed the Shockmaster portion of it, when they were telling that part of the story, some of the people that they were interviewing had not heard about it or seen it, which is surprising, right? Because it's such a meme at this point. But some of the old timers, like Ming, specifically Haku, when he was shown the video, he laughed so fucking hard. It was contagious. He had me laughing my ass off. I mean, he laughed hard, like crying, laughing. It was so fun to see his very first reaction to it live. Fred Ottman was interviewed for this too, the old Tugboat himself. And he had said that actually he embraces the Shockmaster thing because it's given him this whole other life on the convention, on the, you know, convention circuit. Why can't I say that word? Convention, on the convention circuit. And, the merchandise, he's got an action figure of the Shockmaster. So it's paying off in the long run. People want to take pictures with the Shockmaster, get the Shockmaster's autograph, you know, laugh, have a good laugh. I mean, it's a joke, it's a meme, but goddamn, if you're going to, it takes a special worker to not, you know, die of embarrassment and actually find a way to make some money off of that, right? What a worker. But he and everybody else. No, not one person had a bad word to say about John Tenta at all. Salt of the earth, as he was described. I actually even went in and I watched a few other people. You know, I saw Eric Bischoff, an 83 Weeks clip on John Tenta and why they made him the shark and that kind of thing. But even he said exact words. John Tenta was salt of the earth. Everybody had a nice thing to say about this man. He was just a sweetheart. He adopted a child, like, not like, you know, off the free market or anything, but he married a woman who already had a child, and he took that child on as his own, and that child took his name, Tenta, and then they had a bunch of other kids. He married a woman that he met while he was in Japan. He was doing the sumo wrestling gig. He was apparently a kick-ass wrestler in high school and college, and ended up getting recruited. I didn't even know that Japan did this, but apparently Japan was recruiting American wrestlers right out of college to go to Japan and make money over there doing sumo, which is a sport over there, and that's something they can legit get paid for, and will apparently recruit people fresh out of, you know, collegiate wrestling and shit. And he went over there and kicked everybody's ass, essentially, but he didn't like the culture of it, and they didn't, that would have been more something they should have gotten into on a dark side of the ring. Why didn't he like it? Was there hazing going on? Was there weird shit? What exactly did he not like about the culture? They just basically kind of said, I didn't like the culture, so I wanted to get out of it. And his true passion was pro wrestling. He was always a mark as a kid and learned very quickly, learned from people in Japan that he could get himself booked pretty easy as a wrestler. So he got himself some work as professional wrestler in Japan, and was quickly noticed by Vince McMahon as, you know, he's always looking for the next monster heel. You know, he had the heel factory going up against Hulk Hogan, and he saw the dollar signs in John Tenta and brought him in to work with the Hulkster in WWE. They talked about his famous, when he went back to Japan as part of the WWE, was it Katao? That he was working with over there, who was a guy that was apparently a big sumo champion and thought Earthquake was kind of a pussy, thought he couldn't take it in his sport because he knew he'd kind of left sumo early. And apparently, you know, didn't like doing the jizzob. So he did the job for him one night and then was supposed to do the job for him the next night. And decided he was going to shoot on old Earthquake instead. And he went in for an eye poke. He was going to legit poke out his eyes. And you can see, you know, Tenta's like, you're going to poke my motherfucking eye, I'll poke your motherfucking eyes. And they were just intense. They were like, I'll get you with the eye poke. I'll get you with the eye poke. And then apparently Katao just, was it Katao or was it Tenru? I don't know. It was one of those people that Bobby Heenan made fun of. I think it's Katao. Katao, right? Jumped out of the ring, grabbed the mic, shot on wrestling in general. Like, oh, this is fake phony. He's fake phony. I'm getting the fuck out of here. And that was the end of that guy. But then they went into... Tenta did the dirty deed, right? He felt like he wasn't really going anywhere in the WWE, that he was on the decline after his natural... Look... Most wrestlers don't get the kind of run that John Tenta got. He was brought into work main events with the Hulk pretty much immediately. I don't know. He might have had an entry-level feud or two to build up the Hulk, but he was being built up to work with the Hulk. He was brought in to work with Hulk. Worked with Hulk, had a whole title run, injured the Hulk, did that whole thing, had a big angle. Main events, you know, he was the SummerSlam main event. Yeah, that was, he had a good significant run as a top heel with the Hulkster. After that, I thought he was placed very well, working with Jake the Snake, squishing the Snake. And then, you know, as he looked like he was about to just keep moving down the card, breathe new life into this guy. Let's pair him up with the Tugboat. Now they're a fucking tag team. And the Natural Disasters had a whole nother fucking run as a tag team, a top tag team. Not only did they win the belts, but I would argue they were a top team. They were a fantastic team, at least as kids. You know, fantastic. Can they do a tackle drop down, hip toss, fucking get it again? I don't fucking know. Probably, actually. But to me, as a kid, you're just looking at two big mammoth fucking mountain monsters, right? How is anybody going to defeat these guys? And they were heels. Then when they turned good, they got a whole nother run again to work with fucking Money Inc. So they had significant runs. It was at about that time where they saw, at least Quake, saw that there wasn't much life left to the natural disasters either. So instead of just floundering on the card, lowering his value, and then eventually getting released, he decided to do what everybody else was doing and made that jump over to WCW. Put out the call to Eric Bischoff. Hey, ATM Eric, how much can I get to hop on over? Apparently got a pretty good deal to come on over and work with the Hulkster again. They had to work around the Earthquake copyright. So they tried Avalanche, and then that didn't work because it was too close. Confusion in the marketplace or some shit. I don't fucking know. So they went with the Shark. They pointed out how Tenta even got a shark tattoo, covered up his bear tattoo, his tiger tattoo on his arm with a shark. Fully embracing the gimmick. Whole new run in WCW. Top heel monster, the Shark. With the Dungeon of Doom. Not to be confused with Shark Boy, his son. But the Shark was unfortunately not only, you know, a bad gimmick, and the Dungeon of Doom was kind of you know, the booking was questionable at some point, but they would kind of got to a point where the Attitude Era was coming around and the NWO was right around the corner, and wrestling fans' attitudes were shifting and they were not into cartoon shit anymore. And the way that they described that is that Hulk Hogan had kind of seen the writing on the wall and was not going to come back to work with the Dungeon of Doom. He was away filming a movie or whatever. I think maybe Eric Bischoff said this separately on his own thing. That Hulk was away. Yeah, it was Bischoff. He was filming a movie at the time, you know, in the midst of his Dungeon of Doom run. I think maybe he did an injury angle, something like that. He was off in between pay-per-views. And then Hall and Nash came in, and Hogan decided, look, man, I don't want nothing to do with this Dungeon of Doom shit anymore. That's not where the cool kids are playing. Which left John Tenta out hanging. So while Hogan basically left all the monsters in the Dungeon of Doom hanging to go play in the NWO, I think, you know, some of them ended up joining the NWO. Others ended up just doing a whole lot of nothing, and that was John Tenta. I think he decided to go somewhere in there, either between WWE and WCW or after WCW. Went back, did a little bit of Japan. But that was kind of it. And he ended up, you know, they talked about he got to the point where he was working at, you know, big and tall sections of stores and shit like that. And that's really sad, but he was supporting his family and took care of his family. He had beautiful family, you know, beautiful kids, three kids, two of his own and one previous, his wife brought in previous, married to a lovely Asian woman he met overseas, brought her over. Then he decided to come back to the WWE. You know, he was, I guess, you know, obviously in a position where he could use the payday. And WWE, Vince McMahon, mad, I guess, that maybe Tenta left to go to WCW or no longer saw value in him after the whole Shark debacle and everything else. Just decided, instead of going with, we're bringing in John Tenta back, or Earthquake back, just decided to throw a fucking mask on him and hand him a fucking Cartman plushie, tell him to go out with the Oddities. And it was humiliating for him. This would not have been a humiliating spot for any big oaf, but it was particularly for John Tenta, because this was a guy who main evented against the Hulkster, a legend at this point, right? Had a huge, I mean, he had name and face equity, name and face value But they just didn't see it in him at that point. And he got his payday and he had his little bit of a run. And then that was it. That was a wrap for old John Tenta. And he didn't really do anything else in the wrestling business after that. And it wasn't too much further than that he passed away. And look, that's obviously, you know, that's one thing why you would call it a dark side of the ring. But everybody passes away. So, I mean, can't do a dark side on every wrestler that I've ever died. So I felt like this one was a bit of a stretch. He ended up getting cancer in his, I forgot what they said. Maybe it was testicular, ball groin, somewhere in there. And it ended up, like, spreading throughout the rest of his body. Maybe kidneys, something like that. I don't fucking know. And they tried. They fought it. You know, he did chemo. He was able to kick out of it for a little bit. But then it came back stronger, harder. Bladder. I think it was bladder. Maybe it was bladder. I don't fucking know. But that was it. And as I said at the beginning, you know, they made mention in that when he at his funeral, there was zero, nothing, not even a card or a flower from the wrestling business. Not from Tugboat, not from fucking anybody. Sad, very sad. But by all accounts, he lived, you know, for the short life that he did live, man, he lived, you know, he raised a beautiful family who loves him very much. They were all here talking fondly about him. None of them talked about, oh, I missed my dad growing up. Because by the time they were old enough to really understand, he was able to spend a lot of time with them. There was, you know, a little bit of stories of him being gone and coming back. And, you know, with his daughter maybe not fully recognizing him right away. But, you know, that didn't last long. He was there for a good chunk of their formative chunk of their lives. They all love him. They all appreciate him. He had a huge run with Hulk Hogan, which not everybody got to do. Sure, Hogan, it was a monster factory. It was the heel factory. It was who can we put up against Hogan? But you had to be believable. You had to be a monster threat. And to do that, you had to also not only look the part, but you had to get the massive push, right? You had to squash a few people on your way up, or be brought in as this devastating, you know, monster that nobody's going to be able to overcome. And you get a few matches out of it, right? You make the house show loops, making tons of money there. You get the payoff at the pay-per-view, or a couple pay-per-views even if you do that, a Saturday night's main event out of the deal. It's actually a pretty big money run. And then after you do that, if you do a good job, yes, you're going to move back down the card because you can't face Hulk Hogan forever. But getting placed with, like, the number two babyface, Jake the Snake, is not a bad fucking deal. And getting a good storyline that you could sink your teeth into with squashing the Snake. Fuck, print money, man. Print money during that era. Huge first run. Second run with the tag straps, tag team, both as a heel and then a babyface. Switching from heel to babyface definitely extended their run. I think it got them two title reigns, did it not, as tag team champions, main event, or not main events, but, well, huge WrestleMania matches and that sort of thing. So, you know, with Money Inc., they worked with Money Inc., and who else did they work with at WrestleMania? I think they had two WrestleMania matches as the Natural Disasters. So, man, not a lot of guys get those kind of runs. And then even over to WCW, just being in WCW had to be another good payday. Now, I don't know what his bills were. I don't know what kind of lifestyle he was living. I don't know what he was actually being paid. But I know he had the opportunity to earn some decent money while he was there. And I think wrestling is just, it's an cold, unforgiving mistress. There's no guarantee that you're ever going to, you know, become anything or have any sort of success at all. It will chew you up and spit you out broken and lonely. And that's how it is for most people. Tenta got a hell of a run out of it. He's a legend in Japan, too, for what he did over there. I gotta hand it to him, man. I think he stood out and was able to accomplish a whole lot. He had a hell of a life. I don't know that it was Dark Side of the Ring worthy. I do highly recommend you watch it, though, especially if you were a John Tenta fan. good, you know, it was very good storytelling. Good to hear the insight from his wife, his kids, and the people around him. And plus that that reenactment of the Shockmaster falling through the wall and just watching Haku laugh uncontrollably for an extended period of time is worth the price of admission alone. But what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the Dark Side of the Ring moving forward? Are they stretching themselves a little bit too thin? Are they kind of running out of shit to talk about? Heavy hitters, so to speak. Obviously, the Vince one would be a fun one to talk about now. Maybe not fun is the word, but, you know, that's on the table now. What are your thoughts on John Tenta, Earthquake, the fucking shark, however you want to refer to him? How did he affect you? For me, man, he hit that prime point in my childhood where I bought into everything, and then I was along for the ride with the natural disasters as well. Let me know all of your thoughts down in those comments below. Peace, love, and pizza. I'm going to go ahead and poke you in the fucking eye.
Let me tell you something, brother. You can check out full episodes each and every Sunday right here on this channel, dude. Don't forget to like, don't forget to subscribe, and don't forget to take your vitamins and say your prayers, brother.
I hate Juggalos. I fucking hate them. I say all this with a grain of salt because for a good part of my own life, I proudly identified as a Juggalo.
You should come to the gathering with me.
Nah, man. I'm not into all that whoop-whoop shit anymore.
I'll pay for your ticket.
I got fired today.
Get the fuck out!
Still got room for me?
Spike, slow the fuck down! Cops!
Fuck your sleep! Fuck your sleep! Fuck your sleep!
The savages started closing in with their tiki torches and war paint.
Shit! Run! You guys got a dead body here already?
Even the aliens were throwing shade. It was pure panic and intense horror. There was a guy I saw got chopped in half. I had nothing left to go back to.
You alive?
Yep. The Gathering. A bold journey into the belly of the Juggalo underworld.